Jesus is teaching on hospitality and humility in Luke chapter 14 is in many ways contrary to the world's way of doing business, where strategic relationships are meant to move us farther and farther up the ladder of success. How many of us haven't told our children and even ourselves, it's not what you know, but who you know. Now, there's some truth to that. But when we confess our faith in Christ, we trade the world's rationale and mode of operation for a kingdom worldview, which is often illogical to the world. Kingdom mentality is often at odds with the way things are done in the world. God's kingdom principles tell us to love our enemies, pray for those who persecute us, that it's more blessed to give than to receive, to give expecting nothing in return. If someone asks you to go a mile, go two. This is not the plan for success that the world promotes. The world says the more you have, the more status you attain. It says the more you have, the more you are worth. That teaching has seeped its way into the church in the form of prosperity teaching. But the scripture teaches us to whom much is given, much is required. Jesus taught, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He said, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek or humble, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, not stuff, amen, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. That's why we are told not to conform to the ways of the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So today we look at our lectionary passage from Luke chapter 14, and we are being asked to check our motives. What drives your decisions and actions in life? Is it exaltation or glorification? In Jesus' day, hospitality was greatly prized. To show hospitality was a virtue. Someone coming to your house for dinner was an honor, but there was also a hierarchy involved. At dinner, couches were arranged in a U shape with a low table in between that was close to the floor. Guests reclined on the left elbow and ate with their right hand. The place of honor was at the center of the U. The people who sat the farthest from the top of the U were the people with the least status. If the host asked a person to move down in order to make room for someone of more status, the person asked to move down would be disgraced. And public disgrace such as this was considered worse than death. I guess that's where the word mortification comes from, which has its root in the Latin word mors, meaning death. Oh, I was so mortified. Meaning, oh, I just wanted to die. I just wanted to crawl up under a rock. Amen? Well, in our scripture today, Jesus was invited to a very prominent Pharisee's house. In fact, he was the leader of the Pharisees. And the scripture tells us that though he was invited, he was being watched carefully. This dinner was on the Sabbath, and it was very likely that Jesus was invited and was being watched to see if he would break one of the Sabbath laws, because they were always looking for ways and reasons to discredit Jesus. But just as they were watching Jesus was watching them too. He was observing their behavior and used the opportunity to teach them something about hospitality and humility and the behavior and attitude that are most becoming of people who say they belong to God. Now, as religious leaders, the Pharisees possessed great social power in Israel at that time, even though they were non-political lay leaders. They taught strict adherence to the Old Testament law, not only in its written form, but the law they claimed had been handed down to them orally by Moses. Their goal was to defend the written law against any violation. They had developed 39 categories of actions forbidden on the Sabbath, according to their interpretation of the law and Jewish customs. And eating meals was a religious matter to them. They had special laws pertaining to meals and many regulations that would prevent them from becoming ceremonially defiled and unclean. And by doing so, they thought, again, that they were showing commitment to the law. They would not share meals with people they regarded as sinners because they believed they were better than them. And eating with them would cause them to be defiled. So here is Jesus dining with religious leaders who would proudly claim to be the children of Abraham, keepers and interpreters of God's law. And yet he is reminding them of what godly hospitality and humility are. I guess they forgot the Old Testament passage from Psalm chapter 82, verses 3 and 4 that said, "Defend the weak and the fatherless, uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed, rescue the weak and the needy, deliver them from the hand of the wicked." I guess they forgot Deuteronomy chapter 27, verses 18 and 19 that says, "Cursed is anyone who leads a blind person astray on the road. Cursed is anyone who denies justice to foreigners, orphans, or widows." Man, I think those Christians who are following Trump, whoo, they need to read the scripture. Amen? We need to, like, send them all letters and say, okay, does this word, what does this say? Is this not God's word? My. I guess they forgot that Proverbs chapter 19 says, "Whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord." You see, their motives were all wrong. They were jockeying for position, a position of honor at the table. But Jesus says to the host, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors. Invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. And you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." I don't know about you, but I'd rather God bless me than people. Amen? Yes. People are fickle. They love you one day and they can't stand you the next. Amen? They'll speak to you one day and treat you like dirt the next. But God is always gracious and loving and kind. Amen? This scenario reminds me of one that I've seen many times before with ministers. I'm going to pick on my own. With ministers at special services or events or funerals. Most ministers make their way to the pulpit area as they greet each other and address each other as doctor and bishop, and elder. And I won't say any more. Often I am not invited to sit with the ministers. And it used to really bother me. Like somehow they invalidated my call. Thankfully, I have been delivered from that. You see, how can anyone invalidate what he or she has not been consulted about? How can a mere human being invalidate what God has instituted? Once you are secure about who you are in Christ and what God has called you to do, it makes no difference who esteems you or not. It matters not where you sit in the human assembly, but what matters is your position in Jesus Christ. It is in him that we live and move and have our being. And in the end, it will be him that we must all answer to. Amen. That's why the Apostle Paul could say in Galatians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, I have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. So again, today we are being asked to check our motives. We've all met people who always have to have the best and be thought of as the best. But the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who took on the form of a slave, took on our human flesh, was ridiculed, bled, suffered, and died for our sake. He was a humble servant. Amen? He did it for you. He did it for me. And because of him, we have new life. So what drives you? Exaltation? Jesus said, for all who exalt themselves will be humbled. And those who humble themselves will be exalted. Or is it glorification? When at the end of time, all of those who are in Christ will be made like him. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 3 says, see what love the Father has given us, that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that they do not know him. Amen. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him. For we will see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. Amen. Amen. Check your motives. Exaltation or glorification? I want to be like Jesus. How about you? Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you. You have given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. If only we would follow your way, yield our lives to you, put your will before our will, humble ourselves, and then you will exalt us. God, purify our hearts. Father, that we may desire above all things to live like Jesus, to be like him. God, so that in that final resurrection, when those who are dead in Christ will rise and those who are alive will be caught up to meet him in the air. We will be in that number. And we can take off this flesh that perishes, and we can put on that imperishable, sinless, new form that you will give us, and we will be forever with you. Help us, God, to be humble. Help us, God, to love as you love. Let our greatest desire be to glorify you. It's in the name of Jesus that I ask these things. Amen.